Once again, the subject is politics. I'm Steve Marshall, and this is a campaign postmortem, the campaign of George Papoon. We have once again as our guests the Celebrities for Papoon committee, the entire committee, consisting of precisely one half of the Fireside Theater, Phil Proctor and Peter Bergman.
Which half are you, Peter?
Do I assume correctly that the other half of the Fireside Theater is anti-Papoon? They never show up for this.
Oh, no, no, no. They are on. They're resting down in the Virgin Islands.
I see.
And trying to keep it together. It's very trying. They worked very hard. They were working directly in the field, much more than we were, and of course you get very dirty when you're working in the field like that, especially in a field of cows. You can imagine what it was like. After a while, dealing with the animals, talking entirely with the animals all the time drove them insane. But they're not insane, don't get me wrong. They're just resting.
They were poling in the fields and taking those large, heavy poles into those fields filled with cows and cow pies that were being served
difficult.
in the big election dinners.
Yes.
Very difficult, so they're very tired, and we're taking the lead right now. They'll be coming back, though,
because
I'm getting tired
yes,
also.
Yes, and Dave Osman is also working on the buffalo chip concession, which is a new product he's trying to foist upon the public, and that, of course, takes a great deal of time. But we're not here to talk about that.
We're not
here to be talked about.
That's right. What about the... Let's discuss the campaign. Let's discuss the results.
Well, Jim, as you... Steve?
Steve, I... Yeah, yes. Bob, I don't know.
Well,
whatever.
Steve, as you know, I don't know if you do, actually, but as you know, the wonderful thing about the campaign and the terrible thing about the campaign is that George won. George Papoon was elected.
George won?
Yes.
I didn't hear about that.
No, again,
that's his name. That's his royal name, George
won,
actually. But he hasn't been beatified yet.
Now, is this... Before we talked about the media conspiracy, is this again part of it, the fact that they didn't even report the fact that he won?
Well, yes, it's true. There has been... I mean, some of the candidates who were running in the opposition parties complained about the fact that there was a certain amount that they were ignored by the press. Well, it's been nothing such as the way that we have been ignored by the press. For instance, when George said, I'm nobody heard it. Nobody heard that statement, which could have revolutionized the entire campaign.
Well, who would censor a thing like that?
Well,
I know who censored it. It was the Commission Affairs.
Well, it might be, Peter, but I think that it was myself, and I'd say that
I don't.
I don't care who says it. But the fact of the matter is that the humanoid vote was overwhelmingly or underwhelmingly not for George Papoon, and this was part of the conspiracy, as you said.
It's a humanoid conspiracy. The press is controlled by humanoids and humanoid types.
Yes.
And these are the people that George did not campaign heavily amongst, as indeed Mr. McGovern did not campaign in the South.
No.
George knew it was worthless. The humanoids are too blocked, as he says, too politically repressed. They have not reached a level of sophistication where they could understand his type of campaign, and so he went to the animals. He went to the one-celled organisms.
Mm-hmm.
He went to where the votes count.
He didn't get any human votes then.
Pardon me?
He didn't get any human votes at all.
Oh, yes, he got a few humanoid votes, I suppose, but I mean, they were really virtually buried in the landslide. You didn't see it on television, did you?
No.
Well, neither did I.
Watched for it.
At the Papoon headquarters in San Clamorone, however, in George's apartment, through his own closed-circuit television, we got fairly up-to-date readings, and I believe we have the final tabulation.
I do here. I just took a tab so I could read it, and... George Papoon received what I think even the President Exxon himself referred to quietly in the Sponge Room as a substantial majority. George received 148 billion to the 132nd power votes. That's approximately a 4,000 figure. So it would be difficult to try and... It would take over a year just to say...
This was the final count from the insects, the animals, and the one-celled organisms, and I think it's quite impressive. I think it's probably the most impressive plurality that any...
Was this then, in effect, an insect backlash, then?
Yes, you might say that.
Painful. If you've ever been backlashed by, you know, by a red ant, you know, by a centipede. The scorpions came out. Well, that was one of the problems in the heavily scorpion districts, of course.
They
came out and scared all the humanoids away.
Yes,
we would have done very well in Lower Mexico. And that's another problem, too, is that George doesn't recognize...
We learned a lot of things from this campaign.
Certainly did. We
George doesn't recognize who? I'm sorry.
Boundaries. George doesn't campaign just for North America. He says these problems are bigger than us.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the Chihuahua vote, the South American hardwood beetles, for example, came out in large numbers, scaring away the humanoids again.
Canadian snow geese came down in hordes,
That's
so to speak, which scared everybody.
So it was a scary, successful campaign. But on another hand, it was a great defeat because we were not recognized. And George was George was required, purely out of tradition, to hand out a concession speech, which we have a tape of, and we think we'd like to play it for you right now to give you an idea of the feeling that's gone down in this campaign.
Play that tape?
Well, since no other station has seen fit to give coverage, adequate coverage to this campaign, it's my pleasure to do so. So let's listen to the tape right now.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Dear friends, since the surrogate population has obviously decided to stick it out with President Dick, this country now, more than ever, is going to need a masked man behind the scenes.
Capone!
Thank you. We have not lost. We have merely been lost in the shuffle. And we all know who's dealing.
Dickie!
Sure, it hurt us when the amoebas and the schizophrenics split their vote, and the wholesale defection of the lemmings made it look like a real cliffhanger. But the underground black and brown vote, I'm speaking here of the ants, the moles, and the chiggers, supported us with a groundswell of popular and overwhelming, or should I say underwhelming, dedication. And what is a horse leech? I don't know, but they voted for us too.
What is a horse leech?
Yes. Thank you. I may have lost control, but I haven't lost my mind. I'm staying behind this mask. And in the words of my colleague and buddy, Sir Russell Poop, I'll be watching, waiting, sniffing in corridors, seeking to find out which one of us has the cold nose. I leave you then.
Bye!
Thank you. With this promise. Premise. It's Papoon now more than never. I'm not insane.
Not insane!
Please stay tuned. Thank you.
So as you see, George is not bitter in defeat.
Right now, yeah, I know. Moving speech, I must say.
Very moving speech. About 7.5 IPS is what we tried to get.
Moving right along there.
But it was a great defeat, as Phil's tears prove, and it was also a great victory. I have before me George's victory speech that was given at the Big Brother Absurditorium there on Monster Island. This is not George speaking. I'm going to have to read it verbatim because it was delivered by a horse.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And it goes...
You sound a little hoarse.
Yes, and do. This went to his billions of non-human supporters, and it read, "Dear friends, thank you. I'll never be able to thank you. But think of it, the next time you go out to desecrate a dam or sit down to eat something of a non-political nature. One organism, one vote. Signed, GOP, George Orwell Papoon." I should mention that the Firesign Theater, when contacted in the arched bunker room of the Adult Hitler Hotel in Old Berlin, Ohio, well, they suggested, viewing the election, that President Nixon change his name to Exxon because Nixon means stalled president in Japan. Mm-hmm. When we asked them about Papoon's defeat, they quipped cryptically, "Kissinger may ask," and ordered four more beers.
So you can see the spirit of the celebs for Papoon was quite high. As a matter of fact, they were quite high at the time, but they'd been up all night, as you know it. It was a very late night. I think they didn't get to bed till 9 o'clock.
Well, the Gypsy Moths didn't bring in their vote until well after midnight. A lot of the voters, of course, a lot of Papoon supporters don't get up until it becomes really dark.
So yes, the
bats. They flew in. Their radar, of course, unfortunately, set off some of the burglar alarm systems over the neighborhood when they came in to vote. So there was a lot of pandemonium.
Mm. But anyway, Frank, Steve,
Jim,
this is past history now. This is the 11 o'clock news. We ought to really get on to the morning edition because we have been working very, very hard to help to form the all-provisional government, which is already being put together by a shadow cabinet meeting in San Clamorone. We call it a shadow cabinet because there's not much light there in the apartment. There's only the light from the kitchen, the one bulb, and it's difficult to see who's there in the meetings, but some of us have been there, I think.
George is very impressive in those shadow cabinet meetings, the backlit by that one bare bulb, the outline of his mask, the glow around it, the few of us there in the cabinet meeting sitting. It's very
awe-inspiring. Feeling. It really is. Now, in the reorganization, there are several very, very important changes that will be made in the structure of government and economic and social policy for our society. And one of the most important is, of course, the premise of no work, no pay, which I think is an important premise. A meaning, of course, that if you are working, then, of course, you can pay for rent, food, and other amenities, simple social amenities. Mm-hmm. If, on the other hand, you are not working, of course, everyone we know wants to work. So if you are not working, it's not your fault. You're not responsible. Therefore, you shouldn't have to pay anybody.
Not responsible.
It would be a burden on you. And as long as we understand this, I think we'll get a much clearer reading of exactly where we stand economically and socially in the country. It will be clear if there is employment or unemployment. We will not have to any longer spend millions and millions of our hard-earned or not earned dollars,
unearned dollars,
right, to find out what percentage is employed or unemployed. It'll be a simple fact. If you're a landlord, you don't get your rent from Joe Maxim and Frank Carnwell and Jimmy, little Jimmy Arnada, you realize that they're just having a couple of tough weeks, and that's okay. What the heck? So you don't have to pay your taxes to the government that week, for instance, if you don't get the taxes from your client. It's as simple as that. And this way the government will know, very responsive. We're trying to get the responsiveness back into the system, you see. Direct connection.
One of Pupun's chief campaign promises was the guaranteed annual year. Is this going to become a reality now?
It already is a reality.
Yes.
The clock on the wall is proof that George keeps his promises. Look at that. Tick, tock, tick, tock. 3 seconds in 3 seconds. You see, he didn't take 10% of the time as the... Three for three, not 2.5 for 3, you know. Mm-hmm. He's a true baker's dozen. I should mention, Phil, the sweeping legal reforms that are going down. First of all, an end to reform schools. Second of all, an end to law, except for natural law, so that people will now be able to wear naturals without any problems.
Don't
worry about being busted.
What about the FBI? Any plans afoot there?
Well, yes. Speaking about reorganizing the FBI, the FBI will be reorganized to the FIB, the FIB, because we are appointing Marcus Finicky as the head of the investigating bureau, and the first thing he's going to do is to investigate the bureau.
Now, as you know, to be a bureau member, you have to be either accountable to yourself or a liar. You know, a graduate of lying school, and that's why...
Finicky is both.
He's both. And,
although it's difficult to tell because he, he
never tells the truth.
Right.
As he said, when you're investigating, to tell the truth makes you an open target. He says if you know how to lie, you know how to make yourself invisible.
He appeared recently on the new To Tell the Truth program, and his secret was... that he may be lying. It's very confusing, and all the guest celebrities on the panel, they didn't get it at all.
No, they didn't.
As a matter of fact,
I
don't even think they aired the show. It was so outrageous. Yeah. What about the charges from the McGovern camp that his overwhelming defeat was caused in large part by Pupun supporters who were sabotaging his campaign?
Well, it's silly, because we, as you know, the humanoid vote really did not come to George Pupun, and the insects and the animals were virtually ignored by McGovern, and I think it hurt him very badly, ultimately. When he dropped Eagle Ton, there you have it, when he immediately insulted the entire bird population, and they could have helped him a lot. They could have...
We could have given him the bird. We could have delivered that vote to George, but...
If he had become president, the presidential seal would have become literally that, a seal, because the birds were not willing to pose for for it any longer, and the eagle would have disappeared.
It's true.
What about, this is purely speculative at this point, I'm sure, but what about the prospects of a second term for Papoon? Do you think he will seek a second term?
Well, that's possible. What do you think, Pete? You've spoken to him more recently than I have.
Papoon says that it's not time to talk about a second term now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? In fact, Papoon says it's almost not time to talk about his first term yet. He says it's too dangerous. There's still too much foul play in the air. The reason I said that is because all the geese are indeed are leaving.
Mm.
And once the fowls go home, then maybe you can settle down with the droppings that have come from the campaign, put them together and see what you've got in your little, you know, in your cabinet. Unfortunately, the cabinet posts, as we said, the reorganization pledge, remember, to get rid of the cabinet posts, was a good idea. It was economical.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, without the posts, the cabinet collapsed.
Yes.
And the bureaucrats who were closeted inside were trapped.
Yes, the campaign workers immediately turned themselves to the removal of the cabinet posts, and they were as busy as beavers, and they just cut them down, and bingo, bam, blam. What a surprise.
It's not a matter, George says, of a second term. It's a problem of a second termite. He said that right now we are faced with a country, the woodwork of this country is being eaten away, and he's not sure if even we are going to be around in 75 to vote again. But you know what George says is, it's me now more than never.
Mm-hmm.
Four more beers, as you can see. He's basically a gemütlich candidate.
One might say.
Well, now, President Nixon, or Exxon, if you will.
Exxon, let's refer to him as President Exxon. I think he'd appreciate it.
He has, as I understand now, exclusive rights for the use of Washington for his inaugural festivities and the inauguration ceremony itself. Where are Mr. Papoon's inaugural festivities going to take place?
Well, that's a good question. The humanoid or the non-humanoid festivities?
Yes, sir.
Well, there are two.
Two festivities.
I see.
Yeah.
Well,
humanoid
both
festivities. Humanoid festivities will take place probably at San Clamarone, which is just outside of Wentzville, Illinois. Can't say exactly where. It's a secret mountain retreat.
It's the Adolf Hilton Hotel there. It's a new hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably will be held at that spot.
The non-humanoid victory dinner and inauguration will be held on Monster Island, of course, near the Observatory.
Mm-hmm. Probably at one of the most popular rides there, I should think, so that, you know, people have a good time.
The inauguration ride.
Yes.
It's a long, difficult, steep climb to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then
a sudden drop
into obscurity.
Mm-hmm.
I think, as we mentioned in our earlier conversation, the coverage of the convention was detailed quite explicitly in the Fire Sign Theater album, Not Insane. Are there any, and also a film, I believe, correct?
Yes, there's a film which is, I believe, called The Martian Space Party, released by the propaganda arm of the Narcotics Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
Which is released with a film called Reefer Madness. And they are attempting to recruit addicts by showing this at campuses and prisons all over the country. And yes, this film was a newsreel account of the nominating proceedings at the National Surrealist Life People's Party in San Clamarone, where it all really began.
Yes, indeed, where it really got underway. And it's still underway, by the way.
Oh, yes.
I was going to ask you if there are any future plans afoot in future Fire Sign Theater albums to provide additional historical documentation of the Papoon administration.
There's no doubt that the ongoing restructuring of the government and the society
will affect the Fire Sign Theater.
Most certainly.
Papoon
and
is
therefore,
not dead.
Indirectly, its work.
Well, gentlemen, I thank you for your time. I'll be interested in keeping abreast.
We'd all like to have abreast now and then in 1972.
How
keeping
much time
abreast
do we owe you, by
of
the way?
Let's see, that's $5 an hour. It's 13. We'll settle for about $15 for this interview.
This country could settle for $15. You know. I've got a $5 bill here.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's been
a
very enjoyable and profitable interview. Thank you very much.
Thank you.